Stand together for the reading of the word in Genesis chapter 13, verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to preach your word this morning. We ask that you would anoint us and use us to help this congregation, to bless this people. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Pray, Lord, that you'd encourage the saints of God. Lord, you'd give direction to our lives. You'd help us, Jesus, to live in such a way that we'd be a light in a dark world. May the name of Jesus be exalted this morning. And I pray that every soul would be blessed by the presence of God. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' worthy name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach this morning on pitching your tent toward Sodom. The story of Lot is a story of riches to rags. You know, we like these stories of rags to riches, but the story of Lot is a story of riches to rags. It's the tragic story of a man who chose the world over the Lord. Through the influence of Uncle Abraham, Lot had escaped the spiritual darkness of his homeland, Ur of the Chaldees. He shared his uncle Abraham's faith. He was a righteous man, the Bible declares. He shared in the blessings of obedience to the Lord. He went with his uncle from the land of Ur the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. But in our story, this morning, we're going to see a man who went from faith to moral failure. He went from a man of wealth to a man of poverty. He went from being a friend of the faithful to being the father of offspring who would be the perennial enemies of the people of God. What a tragic story. It was a long journey from the heights of faith to the lowlands of faithlessness. It didn't happen overnight. Many years passed from that day when he dwelled in the highlands with Uncle Abraham to that day in a lonely cave, fathering children by his own daughters, children that would wage war against the children of God for generations. The journey from the highlands to the lowlands began that day when he pitched his tent toward Sodom. That was the day that Lot looked back. Influenced by Uncle Abraham's testimony about the Lord and the promises made by God, as a young man, Lot looked away from the world, left his country, the corrupt culture behind, and began his journey of faith. But now in my text, he has lost that forward look of faith, and he's began to look back to the world he once renounced. He once saw the world as the enemy of his soul, the corrupter of culture, the domain of darkness, of ignorance of God and of his ways. But he's changing his mind about the world. Brother Green, I know the Lord had his hand in coordinating my message with your lesson. And I think this is the second Sunday in a row that it happened. There are two things that changed the direction of this man's life. One was strife in the family, and the other was financial opportunity. He followed the money trail. Strife in the family. Strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abraham offered a plan for peace. He said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. We be brethren. Let's settle this thing. Let's don't have strife between us. The Canaanite is in the land. He's watching what we are doing. Let there be no strife between us." And he proposed a test for Lot. He said, "You choose what part of the land you want. I'll go the other way. Whatever you choose, I'll accept it. And I will go the other way." It was a test for Lot. Lot looked around. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. He saw an opportunity to increase his wealth. He thought he would gain an advantage over Uncle Abraham. Uncle Abraham would have to take what was left. He would take the well-watered plains of Jordan. He would follow the money trail, and he would succeed even above Uncle Abraham. There are many this morning, multitudes really, in the deadly embrace of the world due to these two reasons that I have given you: strife in the family of God and the financial opportunities that the world offers to people. Disappointment with the people of God often leads gullible souls to think that they can find better company in the world. Did you hear me? I said strife within the people of God often leads gullible souls to think that they can find better company in the world. And so they begin to delight in company that could care less if they went to hell, that could care less if their families went to hell, that had no interest in them living holy, but they decided that that company was better than the company of the people of God. And financial opportunity often takes people away from the assembly of God's people. The Bible says the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Has the power, the potential to produce any sin in our life. It is the root of all evil, a powerful motivator in our life that causes us to be willing to commit any sin to gain what we want from the world. Lot went from pitching his tent toward Sodom to dwelling in Sodom. Now, in order to take this step, Lot had to deceive himself into thinking that he and his family could handle the environment of Sodom. I assure you, he was not ignorant of the environment of Sodom. And he deceived himself into thinking that he and his family could handle the environment of Sodom. Immediately after the scriptures say that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, the Bible says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot could see that. He could see the depravity of the city. He could see the tattoo parlors, the gay bars, the adult bookstores, the Hooters restaurants, the marijuana shops, the drug stores on the street corners. Yeah. He could see the theaters that offered their raunchy shows. He could see the exposed flesh on the streets. He could see the low cuts, the high tens. He could see the tank tops. He wasn't ignorant of what was going on in Sodom. He knew the kind of society that was down there. He saw the women dressed like men and the men dressed like women. He saw the same-sex couples embracing on the streets. Y'all getting the picture? Are y'all getting the picture? He could hear the rock and roll music and the rappers chanting their obscenities and the comedians making a sin joke out of sin. He could hear all of that. He knew what was down there in Sodom. He was not ignorant that Sodom was a place where men were sinners and wicked before the Lord exceedingly. He could see it. He could hear it. He knew what Sodom was all about. He could see that the family, as designed by God, as a man and woman joined together in a lifelong covenant, which we've seen an example of here this morning in Brother Garland and Sister Jeanette. He could see that that kind of family did not exist in Sodom. The family joined together in lifelong covenant, being fruitful, passing on divine truth to the next generation. That family didn't exist in Sodom. Divorce was rampant. Cohabitation was the norm for couples. Children didn't know their fathers, who their fathers were. Are y'all getting the picture? I say, are y'all getting the picture? This is Sodom, brother. This is the place where Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. This is the society. This is the culture that Lot headed for, deceiving himself into thinking, I can handle it. My family can handle it. Children didn't know who their fathers were. Almost none of them lived with their biological parents. Many grandparents raising their grandchildren. And listen, Sodom took pride in her depravity. Gay pride days. The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, this was the sin of Sodom. It don't say anything about homosexuality. It says this was the sin of Sodom. Pride. These people took pride in their depravity. They were not ashamed of the way they lived. They demonstrated it openly and they were proud of it. Did you know that the President of the United States of America has declared the month of June to be a month to celebrate the lives of lesbians, homosexuals, bisexuals, and transgender people? Did you know that our president has declared this month to be a month to celebrate that kind of lifestyle? Are y'all getting the picture? Do you understand where we are living? Do you know the kind of culture we live in? I haven't scratched the surface, brother. I'm telling you, I have not scratched the surface. We're living in Sodom. Do you hear me? I said we're living in Sodom. They took pride in their depravity. And they prospered in the midst of their depravity. The Bible says this was the sin of Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her. This was the sin of Sodom. I want to tell you, brother, it was a place of moral destruction. Lot knew that. He viewed this city. The Bible says that it vexed his righteous soul. He didn't hear nobody praying in Sodom. You hear me? I said he didn't hear nobody praying in Sodom. But he thought, we can handle it. Me, my family, we can handle it. He convinced himself that his family could maintain a life of purity and holiness, even though the only churches available in Sodom never preached holiness, never preached separation from the world. In fact, prided themselves on their ability to tolerate all kinds of sin. Only kind of church is there. And Lot persuaded himself, we can handle it. Me and my family, we can handle it. What a lie out of hell. Did you hear me? I said, what a lie out of hell. What a tragedy it brought to this man and to his family. Now, I'm going to try to hasten here, but I want to tell you some of the things that happened to this man. Number one, his children married people from the culture of Sodom. It cost them their life. It cost them their soul. They died in the fire and brimstone of judgment. They refused to believe the warning of imminent destruction that the angels brought to Sodom, and they perished in the fires of God's judgment. This family, we can handle it. But now then, these children that he brought into that environment, no church that taught them, preached to them, influenced them in the right direction. And now then, they are perishing in the fires of God's judgment. Secondly, his wife perished due to her affection for Sodom. You hear me? I said she perished due to her affection for Sodom. When the angel got a hold of Lot and said, get out of here, and led him out of that city, and took his wife and his two daughters, and they walked away, and the angel said, go and don't look back. And the Bible tells us that Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Listen to me, brother. Her feet left Sodom, but her heart stayed there. And because her heart stayed there, she turned around and looked back. I want to tell you something, brother. You can get used to the darkness. Are y'all hearing me? I said you can get used to the darkness. It don't look so bad anymore. You're accustomed to it. You see it on the television screen. You hear it all day long on the job. You're around the corruption all the time. You see it. You hear it. You think it's not so bad anymore. You get used to the darkness. You can get used to the nakedness. You can get used to the music. You can get used to all the things that the world is producing to destroy the souls of men. You can get used to the darkness. His wife not only got used to it, she loved it. And it cost her her life and her soul. Lot left two daughters now, only ones living in that family. Lot, two daughters, fleeing from the judgment about to fall on Sodom. They run to a little city called Zoar. That's where they asked to go. The angel said, okay, we'll spare Zoar. You can go there. But Lot became afraid. He no longer had any faith. He became afraid. The angel told him, you go to that city, we spare that city. But no longer did he have any faith. He's afraid. He flees to the mountains with his two daughters. And they live in a cave. And his two daughters say, look, we're the only ones left in the world. Look at the world burning down there below us. And we're the only ones left in the world. And there's no children. And so we'll have children by our father. And they made their father drunk. And they had children by their father. It's the last thing we know about Lot. Is an incestuous relationship with his daughters. Oh, you say, that could never happen to me. It's happening all around you. Well, we don't like to think about these things. We don't like to think it ever happened to us, our family. But I'm telling you, the ones it's happening to didn't think it ever would either. But it has, and it does, all around you. He fathered two children by his own daughters. Those children became the father of the Ammonites and the Moabites. And those people became the perennial enemies of the people of God. This man who was once a friend to the faithful. This man who once had the faith of Father Abraham. And now then, in a faithless state, produces offspring that will be the enemies of the offspring of Father Abraham. I want to tell you, brother, oh my, how critical it is that we train our children in the ways of the Lord. I have seen children walk out of the house of God and become scoffers and mockers at the holiness ways of the Lord. And brother, it's a critical day. We live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you must stay close to God and seek the face of God and stay in the house of God, or you will become a victim of the darkness in your life and in your family as well. The distinctiveness of the life of faith and obedience, as far as we know, a life of holiness, righteousness, obedience to the Word of God, was lost in that family forever. There's no happy ending to this story that I know of. I really wish it was. I wish we could talk about from rags to riches, but we've talked about from riches to rags. But I think there's a note of hope and a note of encouragement here. And that note of hope and that note of encouragement is this. In the story of Lot, we see divine mercy extended to Lot repeatedly due to the prayers and influence of Uncle Abraham. God dealt with Lot. God spared Lot. God had mercy on Lot because of the prayers of Uncle Abraham. Lot was taken captive while he lived in Sodom, lost everything he had to King Chedorlaomer. And Abraham pursued after Lot and rescued him and brought back all of his goods and restored it back to him again. God had mercy on him. The problem was, he moved back to Sodom again. and set up his housekeeping in Sodom again. He didn't learn from his mistake. He didn't learn from the discipline of God. Hey, listen to me, brother and sister. Learn from the discipline of God. Get lessons from what God has to say to us through the circumstances of life. Turn in the right direction. Seek the face of God. Get out of Sodom. Hallelujah. When God said, I'm going to destroy this place, first of all, Chedorlaomer destroyed it. King Chedorlaomer. Second time, God said, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to rain fire and brimstone on this place. I'm going to wipe these people out because of their sin against God. Homosexuality and lesbianism and perhaps even transgender. I don't know what all was in that place. All kinds of sin in that place. God said, I'm going to destroy this place. I've given you opportunity after opportunity. You would not repent. I'm going to destroy this place. Lot didn't want to leave. He had family there. He had roots there. He didn't want to leave. The angel finally got him and forcefully ejected him from the city of Sodom. And you know why he did that? Because Uncle Abraham was praying. Uncle Abraham was interceding. Uncle Abraham was calling on the name of the Lord. And God heard his prayers and had mercy upon Lot. I'm telling you, it matters, brother, that we pray. It matters that we intercede. It matters that we battle. It matters that we fight for souls. It matters that we have faith that God will deliver our people from the influence of Sodom. He was given repeated opportunities to return to the old path. Abraham didn't give up on him. He didn't toss him on the scrap heap. When he made the decision, I'll take the best of the land and I'll give you the rest. But Uncle Abraham didn't throw him on the scrap heap. He valued his soul. He valued the soul of his family. Uncle Abraham kept on praying. Oh my, we are praying in this place, brother. God has given us a revival. God has come among us in our convention. God has awakened souls that were in danger. God has helped people to see their need of Him. We've seen a revival in this place, but not everybody. We've not seen everybody revived. We've not seen everybody stirred. We've not seen everybody coming to obedience to God. But we are praying that there will be revival from the pulpit to the back pew. That everybody in this place will feel the influence of the Spirit of God. And there will be a revival of obedience to God. That we will escape the culture. We will escape the enticement of Sodom in this hour. We're praying for revival to spread. Revival will bring you out of the low life in Sodom. And it will restore your status as a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. I'm telling you, brother, Abraham never went to Sodom. And Abraham remained a pilgrim and a stranger to the people in Canaan. And God wants you and me to maintain our pilgrim status. We are pilgrims. We are strangers. We are aliens to this world. They don't understand us. But we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto us, and we are crucified unto this world. They may not understand us, but we don't understand them either, because God has changed our life, changed our thinking, changed our direction in life. Oh, God's still at work. And God wants to rescue souls. And God cares about souls. And God is interested in your eternal well-being. And He's interested in the well-being of your family. I'm telling you, brother, I'm not preaching to you this morning because I dislike you or I despise you. I'm preaching to you because God loves you. God wants you to be saved. He wants your family to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Just recently in a meeting that I held, there was a lady there that I knew as a young Christian. I saw her in the house of God. She prayed. She sought the Lord. She was a blessing in the house of God. Something happened. She chose the lowlands of life. For many years,
in the lowlands of life. Now then, she's back in the house of God. She's been saved by the grace of God. She's rejoicing in forgiveness of sins. Her health is broken. Sodom broke her health, but her soul is saved. Hallelujah. Oh my. Her detour to Sodom cost her, but God showed mercy and He restored her. And He's still in that business. The psalmist said, He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. And this is what God wants to do for every individual in this place. God will restore your soul. Hallelujah. In a few days, there'll be a marriage in Roanoke, Virginia. A man and a woman living together for 34 years, I believe it was, having children, never married. Living like pagans, like heathens. The man said, I'll never get married. Had a friend that had a stroke. That friend got saved, started going to the Holiness Church. Had to have somebody to help him. So this man started helping him get to church. He'd take him to church and he'd sit there with him during service. He didn't have no intentions of going any further than the seat he was sitting on. But God began working on him. Hallelujah. God started working on him. And he started coming under conviction. And one day he made his way up to the front and said, I want you to pray for me. And God wonderfully and saved that man. And then saved the woman he was living with, the mother of his children. And they're both in the house of God now. And Saturday week they're going to get married. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me, brother. God can bring you out of Sodom. God can put you on the highlands again. God can put a song in your heart, praise unto the Lord, and give you a life worth living. Thank God. I'm telling you, Jesus can make a difference in your life. Watch what direction you're going. You can go from highlands to lowlands. You can pitch your tent towards Sodom, and you'll wind up in Sodom. But you can come out of Sodom. You can come out of the lowlands where you've been living. And you can go to the highlands of faith and obedience to God and live a life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, Jesus is still in the business of healing souls, restoring souls, saving souls, sanctifying souls. Oh yeah, Jesus is still in the business, brother, of cleaning up our lives, cleaning out our homes, cleaning out our hearts, and making us pure and holy and devoted and consecrated to Jesus Christ. You don't have to live like Sodom. In fact, God will give you a spirit that you despise the sins of Sodom. It grieves your heart. Oh my, it'll grieve your heart, brother. I'm telling you, you see what's going on in Sodom, there'll be a grief in your heart to what the devil is doing in our homes and families and nation and country. It'll grieve your heart. God wants some soldiers here this morning. Moms and dads who will be soldiers of the cross. Moms and dads who will pray like Uncle Abraham. Moms and dads who won't give up on their children. Give up on their loved ones, who will pray until God brings them out of the lowlands to the highlands of glory and praise and worship of God. God's looking for somebody who will fight for souls. I want us to stand together. While Sister Judy comes to the piano, we're praying for revival to continue. Asking God that it'll continue right here in this service this morning. That somebody who has not caught fire yet will catch fire today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. But catch fire today with a devotion and consecration to God like you've never known before in your life. Committed to the Lord, His Word, His people, the ways of God, the will of God. Revival fires must burn in your heart. For us who live in Sodom, surrounded by Sodom, it's revival or ruin. You hear me? I said, for us who live surrounded by Sodom, it's revival or ruin. You're either going to have revival in your heart or you're going to be ruined spiritually. You have got to reach for the heights this morning and get a hold of God. It's going to take the power of God to resist the pressures of Sodom. Altars are open. Is there a soul in this place? Something's getting a hold of your heart. You feel the need of revival fires in your soul. There was a day when you made a decision to walk away from Ur of the Chaldees and travel with the faithful to the land of promise. Why turn back to the beggarly elements of the world? Why go back to what once ruined your life? Let's climb the heights again, brother. Come on. Let's seek the face of God. Come on. Let's pray.